You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here to honor my dad's life and work. So when Rhea was planning this thing, she asked me to help out with a tribute of a certain flavor. Just remember, I'm not a professional.
Born on the North Bank, king of the East Side, 50 years strong, now he's rolling in a sick ride. Handmade suits, raking in loot, five-star general, y'all best salute. Yo, bitches be catty, but the King Kong daddy, rock all the haters while we go roll a fatty. Squiggle on the decks, Kenny on the rhymes, and Logan big ballin' on Hampton's time.
P to the O-D, cast on the daily about Succession, one episode per day, see. P to the O-D, a cast on the daily about Succession. Podcasting like a pro, make some noise.
Succession is almost over, but we are just getting started talking about every single Succession episode here on Post Show Recaps. It's the daily Succession podcast on Post Show Recaps, where we are watching and talking about every single episode of Succession on the road to the final season premiere on March 26th, one episode per day. See, you can get commercial-free versions of this podcast when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level for the ad-free versions of the Succession podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Wigler. Today, we are discussing Succession Season 2, Episode 8, Dundee. And Jess, we are also discussing L to the OG. Finally.
We've made it.
We made it.
Josh, will there be nibbles at this event?
Because always I was nibbles expecting at this nibbles. Event. Always nibbles at this event. Who's that? Who's laughing? Who's laughing on the line? Who's that over there? This is a very serious podcast that we have going on here. As we're talking about Season 2, Episode 8, Dundee. Of course, we are also having an episode in which we are covering royal embarrassment. Incredibly cringy levels of shame on full display. As finally, if you were watching Succession on the day-to-day for the very first time, maybe now you understand the ridiculous intro theme song for the Succession Daily Rewatch podcast. It's L to the OG. The OG Grace Leader was too embarrassed to be a part of this. She couldn't handle it, so she's taking the day off. But of course, we've got L to the OT. We've got LaTanya Starks in the house. LaTanya.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here to honor my dad's life and work.
It's our pleasure. It is our pleasure to do it. We needed someone of a certain flavor.
I can't.
Of course, it's LaTanya coming in on to the Daily Succession podcast. LaTanya of so many podcasts here on PSR. We got y'all on the Connect. We've got LaTanya on the Versus podcast, where currently LaTanya and I are podcasting about The Last of Us versus Station 11, though that is officially wrapped. Or about to rap as people are listening to this. So much rapping, LaTanya.
So much rapping.
It's too much rapping.
No, just enough.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, LT, I wanted to make sure that you got on one of these daily Succession podcasts because we are on the road to the final season of Succession. You need to know that you and I are going to be bringing Succession into the post-show recaps versus arena as part of our final season Succession coverage.
Yeah, we are. We're going to do it. Do it to it. Mm-hmm. And we have the perfect show to contrast or make fight Succession.
Yes. So the way that Versus works, for anyone who doesn't know, is we take two shows on any given week and we put them up against each other in a battle for all the marbles. It's typically two shows for an entire season of their run. That's how we've done it so far. We did House of the Dragon season one versus Game of Thrones season one. We're currently finishing The Last of Us season one versus Station 11. Our third volume of Versus will be Succession season four. versus, and don't tell the Last of Us versus Station 11 people this yet because we haven't revealed it to them. You're getting an exclusive right here. Because they're airing at roughly the exact same time, it is a head-to-head battle for the water cooler dominance. It is Succession Season 4 versus Yellow Jackets Season 2 is what's coming next to the Post-Show Recaps versus podcast, and it shall live here in your Succession podcast feed as well. LT, we're hyped about this.
I'm more than hyped about this. It's really eat or be eaten in both of these shows. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
It works. It works. Jess, I feel like the only show that you potentially like more than Succession as far as anything that's ongoing right now is Yellow Jackets, yeah. which we will also be podcasting about. Are you yeah. excited about Succession versus Yellow Jackets?
Oh, this is amazing, right? This is like, these are two elite television shows going head to head. And I appreciate that. Like, they're also coming out simultaneously. So it makes perfect sense. The synergy is there. Which show will dominate? We'll have to see. I mean, Logan Roy doesn't usually miss, but then again, some of the people on Yellow Jackets, oh my gosh, I'm yeah. so excited.
Logan Roy versus the Antler Queen, LaTanya. I don't know who's more powerful.
I think that they're just going to have to fight it out, and we'll yeah. find out.
We'll find out. So that's the announcement there. If you want to make sure that you get the Versus podcast, if you want the lore, you could go and check out the feed that we have for that. Postshowrecaps.com/versus is the RSS link. If you want to search by URL, you could also just search Postshow Recaps Versus wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe. You'll never miss it. Though those Versus podcasts, they also show up in the patron feed. So if you sign up to get these ad-free Succession podcasts, you will also get ad-free Versus podcasts as well. LaTanya, you are just stepping into the daily Succession grind. Lay out your Succession bona fides and tell us what you thought about this one.
I have been watching Succession since it was a wee bairn. I didn't start watching it immediately, though. I started watching it when season one was complete. So I watched all of season one in preparation for season two and was just overwrought by how great this show is. The dialogue is so amazing. The characters are so well drawn and ridiculous at the same time as being very a serious dramatic show. And I can't help it. I just really have a soft spot for Kendall Roy. I don't know what this says about me.
His musical ability.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. But I do have a soft spot for Kendall Roy, so this is probably one of my favorite episodes of the entire series. So I'm really excited to be here to talk
about
it.
We were saying, Jess, before we went on, that LaTanya picked a really good one. LaTanya got on for a really good episode of Succession. Dundee is a classic.
Yeah.
It's an excellent episode of Succession. I would argue that like the entire back half of season two is just like purely, it's some of the best.
Fire. It's as lit as the secret documents on Tom and Greg's balcony.
Yeah, it's straight fire. It's so, so good. So LaTanya couldn't have picked a better episode to come on and chat with us about.
Some would call it a banger.
It's a banger. It's mm-hmm. a banger.
Just
no
like
skips.
This song,
no
which
script.
I will stand by.
It's a really funny thing. So when you go and you like check the YouTube for the full version of the song, there like some of the top comments. One of the top comments I think is like, I'm beginning to unironically love this song. And so I feel
it's
like if you're
of
course, because you know Jeremy Strong is so committed, yes. and he is really talented. He's just obscenely talented.
And we've seen him do like musical stuff before, right? Like when he's like literally in one of the opening scenes of Succession is him rapping the Beastie Boys. So mm-hmm. like this makes sense that he would do this, and it is like the lyrics are really good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, F Father Time. That's one of my favorites. Should we just like quickly go over all of the lyrics to L to the OG?
I think we have to. I've had them pulled up since yesterday.
Now, I know that we're going to need to do the quick plot recap. Here's what we'll do. Mm-hmm. Let's do the full lyrics of L to the OG, and then we'll do the quick plot recap, and then we'll go character by character to talk us through this whole thing. Sound like a little
Sounds
bit of
great.
A deviation from the plan, but a good plan? We'll do it that way. All right, here are the lyrics. I'm just going to speak them out loud. You ready?
Sure.
It begins. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here to honor my dad's life and work. So when Rhea was planning this thing, she asked me to help out with a tribute of a certain adjust bow tie flavor. Just remember, I'm not a professional. Then he says, born on the North Bank, king of the East Side, 50 years strong. Now he's rolling in a stick ride, handmade suits, raking in loot. Five-star general, y'all best salute. Yo, bitches be catty, but the King Kong daddy. Rock all the haters while we go roll a fatty. Squiggle on the decks, that's me, Kenny on the rhymes. Logan Big balling on Hampton's time. L to the OG, you know that part. He does the whole thing to the OG, and he's playing, and he goes there. Then he goes, 8-1 ratings, 80K wine. Never gonna stop, baby, F father time. Bro, don't get it twisted, I've been through hell, but since I stand dad, I'm alive and well. Shaper of views, creator of news. Father of many, how many? Paid so all many. His dues, so don't try to run your mouth at the king. Just pucker up, bitch, and go kiss the ring. And then it's all the other stuff. And of course, when I say L, you say OG. It's just, this is going to be the thing that for me, like the rest of the episode could have been a full fail and it still would get a full 4 because of the same sort of 4 on the floor-ish reasons, Jess, that this is just, this is so iconic. It's iconic stuff. If you were a longtime Succession fan, I don't think that this has ever gotten out of your brain. I think L to the OG is so deeply, intricately linked to the show.
I also, it's one of those where in any show, right, if you're suggesting someone watch the show, you're recommending it, like you always have those moments where you're like, did you get to this yet? You know, this is one of those moments. Bore on the Floor is one. This is one where, oh my gosh, you got to the L to the OG part. It's so memorable. It's iconic. It's hysterical, but also cringy. It kind of ticks so many boxes.
Too many boxes, LaTanya, I think you're on L to the OG.
Way too many boxes. The best part, honestly, is how like white this crowd is.
White, yeah. Because he's a certain flavor.
Exactly, vanilla. When I say L, you say OG, and everyone's like, he's like L to the. And people are just like, what?
No.
Greg dancing in like the front row, also like he's so just like committed. He's just he's into like, it.
This is amazing.
It's so
and
good.
And then when he gets to Roman, and Roman is like, you have to stop this.
Yeah.
Roman's like, I love how Roman's first reaction is, oh my god, is he gonna strip on stage?
Yeah. Yeah, he was very close to it, very close to it. Mm-hmm. All right, so that is the breakdown of L to the OG. I'm sure it's going to continue to come up in this recap, but we got to do the quick plot recap. Jess, tell us what happens in episode 8, Dundee.
Season 2, episode 8, Dundee. It takes place in Dundee, Scotland. Rhea has planned a surprise party for Logan to celebrate his 50th year at Waystar in his hometown, despite the fact that Logan seems to hate both surprises and discussing his past. Speaking of his past, we get breadcrumbs of Logan's early life and the reveal that he had a younger sister named Rose, whose passing Logan blames on himself. Rhea makes the mistake of toasting to her after the siblings Roy, led by Shiv, conspire against her. Shiv doesn't realize that Logan was involved in the trap to remove her from contention for CEO and sets her sights on destroying Rhea, even going so far as to suggest Tom flirt with her to make her dad jealous. Shiv isn't the only one who isn't a Rhea fan, as we see Marsha vaguely threaten her. None of the other Roy children want to make a move against Rhea, as she's separately charmed them all into thinking they are next in line for CEO and that she can help them. Kendall's too busy having copious amounts of sex with an actress in Willa's play and planning a rap song in celebration of his father. Connor needs money from Daddy to help fund Willa's play after he spent an exorbitant amount of money on sand infested with mites that have found a new home on Greg. And Roman is too busy seducing Edward to help Waystar go private. Ultimately, though, Shiv has her revenge. A whistleblower is about to go public regarding the cruise scandal, and whomever is named CEO will be ripped to shreds. Logan asks for Shiv's advice by Rhea, and Shiv tells him to trust his gut. We end the episode with Logan naming Rhea as CEO, and that is what happened in Dundee.
Okay, that is the episode of Dundee. This is a classic, LaTanya. This is a classic episode of Succession.
It really is one of the tops when it comes to Succession, and there's really no argument about it. I'm a debate coach, so I know this. I do this for a living, and there are no arguments.
None to be had. None to be had. We've talked about this a bit before on the podcast, Jess, about how the show trades on some of Brian Cox's own backstory in the formation of Logan Roy. And so a lot of this is, I think, coming straight from Brian Cox's life, like not detail by detail. Do you think, is he not from Dundee specifically?
He is. He is. Yep.
So he's from there, and like he did emigrate to Canada. So there's a lot built into that. And then when it comes to Logan specifically, even if he is far from the most likable person on this show, let alone the planet, in fact, he may be the person single most responsible for the planet's destruction, even more than Hitler, according to Uncle Ewan, is Logan Roy. That I think that getting this, the shape of where he is from, that moment where he and Ewan have, where he's like, I saw a bird at the bandstand. Like, there's some moments of like, even Logan Roy is still a kid inside here. It's a fascinating look at the guy. I think, Latanya, I think psychologically, in addition to just like sort of the pop culturally, you know, fascinating elements of this episode, yeah. I think it's such a psychologically fascinating episode too.
It really is. And it's interesting to see how averse Logan is to actually discussing or even visiting any of the parts of his past. I mean, we see him first in the car with Connor, and Connor is essentially like, oh, the bandstand, why don't you give me a story about it? And he's just like,
oh, you want to know who Rosebud is?
Yeah, exactly. Rosebud is a dollar.
I love that.
I think that's such a great line.
And tired then, Rosebud is a sled, wired Rosebud is a dial.
Exactly. And then when he's supposed to visit the old house where he grew up, he refuses to even get out of the car. It's like he cannot come anywhere near these memories of his past because he's so focused on forward.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Logan Roy School of Journalism. What's next? The Jack the Ripper Women's Health Clinic?
Let's do this character by character, because I think if we do it character by character, we will encompass everything. And there is so much to encompass in this episode. Of course, we want all of you to join us in rating the Roys when you go to postshowrecaps.com/rateroy or postshowrecaps.com/actionstations. You can rate each of the main characters on a scale from 0 to 4 Roys. You can rate the episodes as well. You can tell us who your favorite side character in any given episode is. Latanya, do you have a favorite side character here in Dundee? Is there somebody who is not part of the main core cast that that really tickled your fancy here in the Dundee celebration?
I'm trying to think of who would be considered side characters.
Anyone who is not Logan, Kendall, Roman, Shiv, Tom, Greg, Connor, Marsha, or Jerry.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Any other name?
Frank.
Frank, yeah.
I think just because this is just because of Frank's disgust during the rap. He's just like, how is it possible that the possible heir to all of this is doing this in public?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing right now?
Yeah, a lot. We're doing a lot. I would feel like, Jess, that Frank might like this. Isn't he? He's supposed to be the most cultured one of everybody.
And he's the one who's kind of most on Kendall's side, usually. Like, oh,
look at the boys.
But he's also, they always like call him what, like Father Time and like old Shakespeare guy.
Oh,
like.
And Kendall literally said, fuck Father Time.
There you go. See? That's why he didn't like it.
His words, not mine.
Yeah, his words.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right.
But
well,
I think you can tell also that Kendall is on drugs.
Yeah.
So he's probably like really upset that this little boy that he's been trying to look after his whole life is throwing it all away and doing so in a rap song.
Are we saying that Frank could hold Kendall in his arms as they're blasting off into outer orbit and he would say, I wasn't your father, but I was your daddy? Is that what we're going for? Is Frank Yondu? Is he the Yondu? This is 3 Marvel references in a row on the podcast, by the way. The MCU is here in the Succession Cinematic Universe. Do you want to keep going with Kendall? Should we start with Kendall here? Because it's just going to be a full four across the board, right? Yeah. How are we going to give him any other score after L to the OG? The bravery, the sheer bravery of getting up there. My God.
The chivalry of sending home a woman.
Yes.
On a nice flight, on a private jet.
First flight, so he's being conscientious about the fact that she needs to get back to the play. That's it, right?
That's all it could be.
You said awesome a lot.
You said awesome a lot.
She really did, though.
She did say it a lot.
She didn't say any other words.
Yeah.
She did say it a lot. This is like when I once got some feedback. It's like, you guys say like a lot. It's like, you know what? We do. And you know what? You're going to either like it or you're not. And I'm going to like it when you stop emailing me about it. How about that?
I've gotten that you say like a lot too.
What are you gonna do? We're on a podcast.
We're having a conversation.
You try having a conversation.
Yeah. Get in or get out.
No, Kendall obviously gets a four, right? I don't know that anything he did beyond, and maybe if he like murdered someone or like really, really brutally assaulted someone, that would be him going down from a four for this episode. But he can't. This is magnificence. He gets a full four.
Yeah.
Unless he gets a one because he's number one.
No.
But that's not how the scale works.
That's not how this works.
So yeah, four
he can only get a four on the floor.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Four on the floor for Kendall for sure. I mean, he and Jennifer, they had a century-defining psychedelic sexcapade.
The part of the reason that I love Kendall so much in this episode is how this is the most smiley that you ever see Jeremy Strong in this role. And he's just so happy to be having lots of sex and rapping.
Yeah.
I also love when Connor comes into his room to try to get him to send Jennifer back to the play. Kendall, like, it's a very sibling moment, it feels like, when Kendall is just like smirking with like a poop-eating grin.
Yeah,
he's holding up the do not disturb sign.
Yeah. I'm glad that the poop came into the podcast, even if Grace wasn't here to call it.
There's even more references to poop in this episode. That's
we don't
not
need to go over all of them.
One.
This is not a fine tooth comb kind of podcast. We can leave that. I do love Kendall saying to Connor's like, I'm sorry, we're kind of like the Lewis and Clark of boning. My favorite is Connor goes, I'm very unhappy about this outcome, and Kendall's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
The door on him. So Kendall is just, he's very funny. I mean, but the flip side of this is like, you know, he's deeply manic episode
right now,
obviously, because so much of the season has been his inability to to feel anything. And now all of a sudden he goes, he sees this play. He doesn't really care about the play. He cares about the woman who he sees on screen. And he knows that he needs to be looking elsewhere other than Naomi because dad doesn't really approve. And so he finds Jennifer. And in having sex with Jennifer, he feels alive again. He feels electrified again. But I think the cold reception probably to L to the OG is not helpful in terms of being like, no, that didn't wake me up. That did not make me feel alive. And also, dad really doesn't like this person at all. So let me just send her home. By the end of the episode, Jess, the look on Kendall's face, we're still going to give him a four, but he's kind of back to zero, I think.
Yeah, he sends Jennifer off without even like telling her. He's like, oh, I'll be right back. I forgot my jacket or something. And then he's like, yeah, go send her off on like whatever. She's done here.
Yeah.
So yeah, he kind of has like a coming back down to earth moment at the end of the episode. But it was fun while it lasted.
How many people can say that they were able to attend such a soiree that they got to do so on a private jet and they get the whole private jet ride back? By themselves.
But her castmates are going to be deeply upset with her.
She's probably out of the play. But that's okay, because if she continues to be in the play, she might get sand mites that get midges.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to talk about the sand mites. disavow the sand mites. So we started with Kendall. I would like to move on to another Roy sibling, if we may, because I think we've been beating up on her pretty hard over the last couple of weeks, as has the show itself. Jess, I am prepared to give Siobhan Roy 4 full points in this episode.
Obviously. Absolutely. Yeah. She earns them. You know what? She rallies the troops. She will not stop banging the drum of Rhea sucks to her siblings. She tells some hard truths about Dad doesn't want any of you to be CEO. She got to all of you. You're all being stupid. And I also love something I really have noticed this time around watching Succession, and also something I love to see is Shiv is not afraid of confrontation. She goes right up to Rhea and she's just like, hey, so you effed me, right? You know,
are you the kind of person who F somebody and then can't look them in the eye afterwards?
Yeah, it's absolutely great.
Yes.
Apparently.
And she's not willing to concede defeat, right? Even though her dad pretty much told her, like, yeah, no, you betrayed me. We're done here. I love her saying he finally made me an effing offer and I'm going to redeem that coupon. Mm-hmm. But she is so, I think that Rhea maybe underestimated her a little bit when she says she's not as smart as she thinks she is. She gets a plan together, and Josh, it pays off. The Jerry Shiv relationship pays off right here, because Jerry goes to Shiv with the information of like, hey, your dad is quote unquote having a great time. Don't want to ruin his time. So we need to figure out how we're going to handle the cruise scandal. And Shiv is the one who says, no, let's leave it until tomorrow, because she knows, let me get in my dad's ear a little bit. And I don't know, Josh, it says a lot to me that Logan was willing to divulge a lot of this information to Shiv about like his concerns with Rhea and how she has all his contacts and she threw this party and he didn't know about it, right? She's liberal. She's blue. She doesn't drink. He has this conversation with Shiv, which to me is like a big sign of he trusts Shiv and like he's very honest and forthright with Shiv. So I gave her full 4 across the board.
Latanya, I think there's a central tension in Succession that is like, what do you value more, competency or family? Like, I think like that is a really big thing for Logan. If this is the family business, and like, it's not our responsibility to make the right calls for such a dreadful, evil empire, but he is in this position constantly of just like destroying his children and their morale and just being horrible to all of them. But they are invested deeply in the success of this thing because of how it affects them. Should he be leaning more on supporting them versus the people who he thinks are going to be like competent, but also are going to like challenge his supremacy? I do think you get that tension in Logan's interactions with Shiv in this episode quite a bit.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it is, again, Logan not wanting to talk about or confront his past, because the obvious answer is that if he had put anything into his children whatsoever, then maybe they would be more competent and know more about the business. But because he did not do that, he gets what he gets in his kids, which is a bunch of unserious trust fund babies.
Yep.
And maybe Shiv right now is the most serious of them all, because she actually has her head in the game.
She forged her own path to a degree.
Exactly. Yeah. She's the most self-made, if you can call it that, of any of the kids. Mm-hmm. And she's also the one who is just like, you know, no BS, Dad. Like, I know that you hate this. I know that every part of you wants to leave right now. But
yeah, publicly,
me, like,
on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. And tell me, what are you thinking, though, of this whole situation? She's able to manipulate her dad in a way that the other kids can't manipulate him, just because she is the girl and she is the baby.
Yeah.
Well, she's not the baby, right? Isn't?
No, she is. She's the baby.
Is she the baby?
She's okay. The baby.
She is the baby, even though Roman feels like a baby.
Exactly. I thought
she
it was Roman.
She is the youngest.
She is Pinky. Pinky and the baby. So she, I think that she gets in his ear in a really impressive way in this episode. She kind of like works her way back into his confidence. And I think that this is a sign of Logan's vulnerability, if not just sort of the state dependent memory of being back in Dundee that's going to cause him some measure of vulnerability, but also the level of surprise that Rhea is exhibiting here. And I think if we were rating Rhea, I would, despite the fact that she gets named the next CEO by the end of this episode, I think a lot of L's to the OG known as Rhea Jarrell, because she does not properly vet. Like, she should know that bringing up Logan's sister would be a bad thing if she has done her research properly. Probably she should know that. She also, I think, by calling this surprise party into action and using Logan's book in order to do this, demonstrates herself as somebody who is not only really powerful and aware of so many things that Logan would rather her not be aware of, but also that she is capable of pulling such a rally together behind his back.
Yeah.
That this is not great. And also not knowing Logan well enough to know that he would want this to be steak and wine. That's what he wants.
He wants it to be a small get together and he can move on with his day. He says it multiple times this episode. He does not like the past. He doesn't like to look back. He wants to look forward. And this is a rally cry to his past, right? Like, he's literally in his hometown with all these people from his past he wasn't expecting to see. And yeah, Rhea really screws this up. And something I love so much about this episode is, Josh, we talk a lot about how we love it when the siblings come together. And I really felt that in this episode. Shiv is the one who kind of leads the party, but they all have to work together, LaTanya, to screw over Rhea by like, yeah. Oh, what should we do? How do we get her to screw up in front of Dad? Oh, okay. Have her mention Rose. That will upset him. And Rhea's not quick enough to assess that the siblings have all banded together against her. She thinks they're not as close or as willing to conspire with each other.
Yeah, Rhea's on the back foot for pretty much this entire episode and is just making blunder after blunder. And the scene with Marsha alone is just phenomenal.
Oh, yes.
It's it's so good when Marsha is just like, I just want to make sure that you're clean because he and I are still having intercourse. And it's just like, what's going on here?
Yes to the TD.
God, I can barely do this podcast because I'm sorry, the whole time.
Well, so are we all agreed fours for Shiv across the board? Is everyone going a full four for Shiv? Yeah. Then I think because we've already been talking about Logan, I would pivot to him before I would continue on anywhere else. And I think I'm not inclined to give Logan a super high score, despite the fact that he is getting celebrated here in Dundee, 50 years of journalism, the Logan Roy School of Journalism. What's next? The Jack Ripper School of Women's Health is such a cutting bit. It's very, very fun. But I do think that it is an episode that, like, I think he's taking L's as well. He doesn't have control. He has not had control for a few weeks now, for a couple of episodes at this point. But I think that there is something to me sort of in the way that when we see Connor at when we see Logan at Connor's ranch back in season one, and you get a little bit more of a sense of who was this guy before all of these people were even in existence, right? You know, what did he do to get here? The scene in the car when they drive past the bandstand, where he talks about how Canada wasn't such a hootenanny either, and that he had come back here once before when his mother died, but it was complicated. And he says, you can't really explain it. He really struggles here, even in the dialogues. He can't explain it. It was complicated. They look at my old pictures, and they want you to think it was simple. And it was, I don't know, it wasn't what they say, you know? And this is the closest that he is able to articulate that he had a really hard childhood, it seems like. It seems like Logan Roy had a really horrific childhood, and he reacted to what must have been, LaTanya, a very monstrous upbringing by becoming a monster.
Yeah, I don't really know if you could become a Logan Roy and then treat your children the way that you do. Like, we've seen him strike his children before and just get really, really angry at them without having that type of upbringing yourself and thinking that that's the type of parenting that you're supposed to exhibit.
Yeah.
It would be sad if it weren't Logan, if that makes any sense.
It's hard to have the sympathy for him, I think, knowing what we know about him and knowing how he treats his family and how he treats, honestly, everyone around him. But I always, I had put Ewan as my favorite side character this episode, because I always appreciate getting more Logan backstory. And the only time we seem to get that is when Ewan is around to remind him of his roots, to remind him of what a terrible, terrible person he is. And so finding out that he did have a younger sister and something happened to her that Logan blames himself for, we don't exactly know what. But we also know that it was obvious before this episode, but we find out that Ewan is a year older than Logan. I feel like because of the dynamic between the two of them, sometimes it feels like Logan is the elder sibling, but he's not. And it's very fascinating getting a very, very close look at Logan's backstory, his history. And I also think, Josh, it's fascinating to me that in that conversation in the car when they're driving past the bandstand, I don't know that we've ever seen Logan at such a loss for words, unless like when his health wasn't so great.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is kind of the first time we've seen where he doesn't have words at the ready, which is fascinating to me that he can't even speak about it. He can't even get out of the car and go into his old home. And it's funny because I think another thing that is indicative of what Logan's childhood was like is Connor says, oh, yeah, he had to shit in a bucket outside. I don't think I'll ever truly understand Dad until I shit outside. And so to me, like, that means that the way Logan has framed his childhood in what little bits he's given his kids is it was really, really bad. And they look at the house
when
and they're like,
"I was your age, yeah."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, "This house doesn't seem that bad." So to me, that is even more of an indicator of like, yeah, he had a really rough upbringing.
Yeah. He had a hard time. I gave Logan a one. I gave Logan.
Oh, wow. You're generous.
I gave him a single point. I gave him a single point. You know, going back home is hard. He's had some accomplishments, I suppose. It's just maybe this was like a happy 50-year anniversary. Here's a point.
I gave him zero because he has a terrible episode.
Yeah.
I was generous, I guess. I gave him a two.
Okay.
Just because part of me could feel that he was clearly just uncomfortable the entire time. And I've been in situations before where I've just been like, can we just move on? He almost bolts at one point, but then manages to come back. And I think I gave him two for managing to sit through the evening.
Yeah. I mean, that was impressive enough to be able to endure L to the OG with a relatively straight face.
Yeah.
We don't get enough of sort of like what's his reaction to that. Like he doesn't get a scene with Kendall really afterwards.
No.
Would have loved that post-mortem between the two of them, I think would have been particularly great.
Especially because L to the OG is completely like something that the actors hadn't seen before the scene happened.
Is that right?
Yeah. The first time that he did it was the first time that they're seeing it, and they're getting everybody's real reactions.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. I love that.
Nice night, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
You told me nothing about you stepping aside. Why?
I apologize.
You broke something here.
I didn't like it when you told me that I should sell my company.
You hear what you want to hear. Then you punish me for something I didn't say.
I may have made some misjudgments.
You're careless. You've been careless of me.
Marsha.
I'm bored. You are boring me.
I want to pivot away from Logan and talk about his closest confidant until it seems like this dinner, Marsha. Can we talk about Marsha, Jess? Because I think that a lot is coming into focus finally. We've been seeing less and less and less and less of Marsha. And it's clearly, you know, structurally reflecting. The show is structurally reflecting what's going on in the confidence between Logan and Marsha. And it seems like something that Marsha said back in the Summer Palace really landed poorly with Logan and broke something. And it's really pathetic, but that's what it is. Marsha has, I think, a huge episode here in Dundee.
Yeah, I think it's actually, I don't know. I don't know that I agree with you completely in that to me, it very much feels like Logan is using what Marsha said as an excuse for his behavior, right? He's like, oh, you told me to sell my company. I didn't appreciate that. And it's like, okay, Logan, but very clearly you've been messing around on Marsha with Rhea, and I appreciate for Marsha that she doesn't give Shiv the satisfaction of, like, I don't know if it truly does bother Marsha, but it doesn't. She doesn't give Shiv the satisfaction of knowing that regardless, where she says, I don't pee on the carpet every time it thunders. And yet she takes it into her own hands and she approaches Rhea and has this whole STD conversation.
Right.
And she says to Logan, you know, I'm really upset. You didn't even tell me you were going to step aside. And I also think Marsha is very astute. When Logan gets upset that this party is a surprise party with so many people and he goes, Jesus effing Christ, leaves. And Marsha goes outside and she says, oh, listen, Rhea planned it. Immediately he is calm. And I think in her head, she is like, ah, okay. You know, she knows where she stands now. And so I really do think that it's an excuse from Logan to say that, oh, you upset me by saying it was, you know, you wanted me to sell my company. I don't think that's it at all. I think he found a bright new shiny toy to play with and your other toy gets set aside. And that's really how I feel. But Marsha, I personally, LaTanya, gave Marsha a 3 because I love someone sticking it to Logan.
Yeah, me too. And Marsha is one of the only people who can tell Logan the truth in this show and not have too many repercussions, because even when she does get repercussions, they're just in the form of money. It's fantastic what she does to Rhea. It's fantastic the way that she kind of like checks Logan. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to see that she completely bypasses, like she gets around Shiv even. Because on the plane, on the way to Dundee, Shiv tries to include her in the all-court press and approach her and say, you know, we need to do X, Y, and Z in order to get Rhea out of the picture. And she's essentially just like, I'm not going to participate in these games. I don't need to participate in these games. Like, that's all for you all. And I agree that Logan is using this as an excuse, because he did give everyone two choices as to whether or not he should sell or if he should continue to remain the head of the company. And she said, well, maybe you should sell. I don't know. Maybe it's time for you to move on and do something else. She didn't seem overly committal one way or the other.
Right. He doesn't hold it against anybody else who said that. You know what I mean? It's just her. And so it's such an easy excuse to be like, oh, well, that's, you hurt my feelings.
That's bullshit.
Not true at all.
It's bullshit. Yeah. But like she sees that. And I think that line from her, the, you know, sort of, the final line she says to him is, God forbid I'll miss the plaque, your shiny little gravestone, which is just death. You know,
when she says
points.
You're boring me, I was like,
I'm bored. You are boring me is
so
amazing.
Good. So good.
I gave Marsha 4. I gave Marsha 4 full points. I think that she's awesome in this episode. I love her scene with Rhea where she's just like, do you regularly get tested? And Ray's like, I'm not so sure this is entirely appropriate.
She says she's afraid to get hit by a baguette.
Yeah,
funny.
She says, I'll be more relaxed to know you're clean because I don't know who else you're screwing. He and I still sleep together. She says to Rhea, you know, I have fought and I've won and I have fought and I have lost. But when I lose, the other one will generally lose an eye.
So bad. You know what? I'm giving her a full 4.
Yeah,
it's so badass. I love that line.
Really good thing.
Not that people should threaten others, but.
Yeah. Only with baguette.
I don't know. Maybe if you're French and maybe if you're the current wife, you should get to threaten the mistress.
Maybe. It's possible. It's possible. Mm-hmm. All right. We're bouncing around all over the place. I like it, though. We're changing things up. Can we talk about Cousin Greg's plight in this episode? Cousin Greg has been presented with a binary choice. You stick with the Roys and you lose Uncle Ewan's money or inheritance, or you quit now and you get to stay plugged into Uncle Ewan. As it is presented by Ewan to Greg, as it is presented to Greg by Logan, the choice is even more simple. Your choice is Uncle Fun or Grandpa Grumps. a difficult decision, LaTanya, that Cousin Greg is going to have to make here. He has gone really into the belly of the beast here with Waystar, but Ewan is telling him, Greenpeace would love to have your piece of the pie, sir.
Yeah, I don't know how this is a difficult decision. Guaranteed millions of dollars? For
250 $250 million.
$250 million.
He's not getting all of that. I think that's what he's worth, and he's gonna get like a chunk of that.
No, that's his chunk.
No, he his said whole that chunk was his chunk.
That is his chunk.
My God.
Yeah, and but the thing is yeah. You gotta remember, you gotta wait for Grandpa Grumps to die first.
It's a fair point.
That's fine. Yeah, you know, like you know,
I can wait.
Time is on my side. You can get a job at Starbucks and do absolutely nothing if you want.
He could
not
go to the box.
Like besmirch the people at Starbucks or anything.
But he could do anything. He could like
literally do anything else.
He could just like sit still in a box for years and just like hibernate.
I'm sure that he's made enough money working for Waystar Royco already to just
he could quiet
hang
quit
out.
What's
wrong with him?
I love Greg saying I'm looking to negotiate a Grexit. It's like also a hysterical line. I think it's really fascinating too. We don't often get scenes of Greg and Logan together, and just the sheer height on Nicholas Braun acting against Brian Cox is hysterical because he's so much taller, and yet the amount of space that Logan Roy takes up is just like he's a planet, right? We said this before. He's a planet, and Greg is just like hunched, like, you know. And I loved that scene. I think it's fascinating to look at, like, what will Greg decide to do? Does he want to have the guaranteed $250 million or stick with his current plan of like, I'm getting closer to the Roys and it seems to be working. It's fascinating. But of course, he's also dealing with some sand mites that, you know, now he has.
Yeah. By the way, does Connor gets a one from me because he has some nice remarks for his father. And that felt really sentimental and real. And so there's like my empathy point. But
this is fascinating.
But if not for that, he would be zeroed out because Latanya, he's unleashing sand mites upon the denizens of sand.
That are getting midges. Mm-hmm. The mites are getting midges.
Yeah.
Yeah, I give Connor.
I do love the line of, I think there's something maybe living in it, perhaps thriving in the sand.
Thriving in the sand. It's so ridiculous.
And we know that this isn't, he's like, you'll have to speak to the sand supplier like everyone
like
else. So this is not even just Greg. I give Connor a zero. One, because it seems like the play is not doing well and he's running out of money, which is like kind of ridiculous considering how super wealthy they all are.
Yeah.
But also because every time I heard, I super love you, super dad, I super wanted dad to vomit. And so he gets a zero.
Yeah, I gave him a one. It's okay, Jess, because this is the worst it'll ever be, the play. It's
temporary
okay.
Temporary dialogue.
30-40% it'll get better.
It'll get better.
Yeah.
It's the worst it will ever be.
Yeah.
I wish I could say that about life.
That was like when I saw Spider-Man turn off the dark in rehearsals.
Oh, wow.
And it was a 0 out of 100. And then I went and I saw it after all of the fixes, and it was like a 64 out of 100. So it's like, wow, that was a huge improvement.
Wow.
Still bad, but wow. Yeah. It went from 0 to 60.
I can't believe that you were in the part of pop culture that got to witness Spider-Man turn off the dark.
Yeah, I mean, I've been at this for a minute. I've been at it for a little bit. To circle back to Greg, I gave him 2, despite the fact he's very funny in this episode, but he's just kind of in a rock, between a rock and a hard place. So I gave him a pretty, just like, boop.
I gave him a 1.
Wow, cousin Greg.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's got mites.
He does have mites.
Why are you traveling? Wow, what are you doing?
I can't believe we're mite blaming Greg.
Yeah, I gave him a 2.
Greg.
I gave him a 2 because at least the 2 options he has are still going to make him extremely wealthy. But also he has mites and seems pretty miserable about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He has mites and he doesn't immediately take the $250 million.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough choice. I didn't know how to rate Tom in this episode because Tom doesn't really have much to do, but his queen has a really strong episode.
Yeah.
All the cool and beautiful people in one spot.
Oh, it's so forced. It's so weird.
Latanya, would this version of Tom flirting work on you?
No, because I wouldn't even recognize it as flirting. I would just be like, what is this dude on? What's
he says, like, he says something about like a VIP rope that is bondage. And I was like, Tom, what's you doing, my guy? How did you even get Shiv with this level of flirting? Yeah. Yeah, I do love his pushback against Shiv of, you want me to flirt with the woman my terrifying boss is obsessed with? I ultimately landed on a 3 for Tom.
Really?
Basically with the with the thing in mind of like Shiv is had a really good episode. He is connected to Shiv. And something else that's interesting is when they so they bump into the actor that she had a little rendezvous with, and he's like, oh, is that who it is? And she is like so embarrassed and uncomfortable. And to me, that's like a little bit of a win for Tom that she is so uncomfortable about it. So I don't know. I gave him a 3. I think he earned it.
What'd you do, Latanya? What'd you give Tom?
I gave him a 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because like he's completely ineffectual when it comes to flirting. I don't consider Tom and Shiv to be a unit. I consider them to be two individual people mm-hmm. because they have never in the history of this show acted like a couple.
Yeah.
I think it's I took the situation with the actor a little differently because I think it's actually kind of hilarious to see the guy that cuckolded you just kind of like do a hey what's up to your wife.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
whether I think you recognize it or not, it's still ridiculous.
I landed on a 2 with Tom just because I couldn't think one way or the other, was this a good or a bad episode for him? That being said, I think just again to like peel ahead a little bit towards the to the ratings of everything else that we're tracking, Greg versus Tom this week. I think Tom has a better episode than Greg. As far as they're standing, he doesn't have mites. He doesn't have mites, and he also is not being asked to resign in order to secure his inheritance. So I think Tom's job is a little more secure than Greg, his financial standing. So I'm going to upvote Tom over Greg in that department. I guess that leaves us with Jerry and Roman. Let's do Jerry really quickly. I think an abnormally weak episode for Jerry, who is running around like a chicken without a head. Damn, because they can't buy this guy out, Latanya. There's no dollar amount that is going to buy this man's silence. And things are about to explode. The cruise scandal is about to get real bad.
It's about to get real bad, but even the worst Jerry episode is still a 3 for me because it's Jerry and she has the line of, I hereby convene the meeting of the newly formed What the F Are We Gonna Do committee.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's pretty great. And her face, her facial expression during L to the OG is just a classic memeable face.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when Jerry's losing, she's winning in my book.
I think that's fair. Jess, how did you do with Jerry?
I rated her a little bit lower. I gave her 2, mostly because like what they're doing, and not that it's her fault, but what they're doing isn't working. They're not able to silence this whistleblower. And so it's gonna come back to bite a lot of Waystar, Jerry included. I didn't give her that low of a score because she had the smarts to invite Edward and have Roman go after him to possibly take them private.
Right.
And I felt like that was a really good assessment on Jerry's part. So I didn't want to penalize her too much. So I just gave her a 2.
I also gave her a 2. I think it's just not something that I normally do. We try to give Jerry all the 4s we can, but I think it's just not a great Jerry episode. But let's move on from the mole woman to the rock star, Roman Roy, who it's like a mixed bag for Roman. On the one hand, he buys the wrong football club.
Yeah, hearts are Hibs.
Yeah, I'm a Hibs man. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've just been rooting for the wrong team my entire life, as Logan says. So on the one hand, there's that. On the other hand, Roman Roy has the line of the episode for me, which I am going to play in full right now. It is particularly vulgar, so earmuffs if this is an issue for you.
What up, pricklicks? It's me, Dr. Moron. I'm a ding-dong doodle-bug dipshit with a titmouse dick, and my dad hates all of you. Fucky go bye-bye. How was that? Was that good?
That was great. It was great.
And
I gave him 4.
You gave him 4 because of that? Oh my god.
Yeah, I gave him 4 points.
There's something to be said a guilty for like the ability where he's like, oh, you want to try one more? Why? And he's like, that was perfect. He's like, well, if it was perfect, why do you want one more? Like, it's so hysterical.
I think it's my favorite Roman Roy moment of the whole show.
Really?
No, that's it. Really is like, I barely have any words.
I'm Dr. Moore.
I'm a ding dong doodle bug.
Dipshit. It kills you. Go bye bye.
Also, there's something. There's something equally hilarious about him being like, hey, Jerry, should we just get married? You eat me, I eat you like they do in Germany. Oh, what is he talking about?
Oh, the amount of people that Roman has proposed to in this show. Oh, not to mention
doing it. Yeah.
Season one, where he fully has a wife and child.
Yeah, Grace. Yeah. She's also not on the podcast anymore.
Yeah.
Grace will be back soon. Gosh, it's just so funny to me. I have no choice but to stand. He gets 4 points.
I'm going to give Roman a 3. The extra, he would get a 2, but the I'm a ding dong doodle bug. Like it gets the Dr. Moron. He gets extra points for that.
Yeah,
so
yeah. What'd you do, Latanya? What'd you give Roman Roy?
Oh, I gave him a 2.
Okay, 2 points. Yeah. 2 points for Roman.
Because he didn't do anything else except what you just played for.
Mm-hmm. That is great.
That was enough for two.
He was expecting nibbles, and he didn't get his nibbles, Latanya.
No nibbles. No nibbles were had. Okay, so that is the Roys. They are rated. We have a few other things that we are tracking here, including how many times does Logan Roy say F off in the series? He says it 0 times. 0 times.
Sad.
And we didn't get a single F off. Mm-hmm. We got 11 instances of dad from Kendall. Kendall, did you know you talk about your dad a lot? Yeah, you talked about him 11 times in this episode. That's 53 times he has said dad in season 2 thus far. Blank's dead. This is the category for who got fired or who got closest to fired or who's been literally killed is also an option. I do kind of feel like Kendall may have murdered the room. I think the room may be dead. I think it's possible that that entire room is deceased.
That feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he killed it. He killed the song. You know, he just crushed it. So take your pick. Room killed or song. We'll do the room or the song. Either one works for me. Daddy's favorite. So this category has been interesting this season. It started with Shiv because he named Siobhan his successor in private, but then all of his subsequent actions were very much team Kendall, and Kendall was Daddy's favorite for 5 episodes in a row. But last time out, we gave it to Rhea Jarrell, as clearly Logan is more enamored of Rhea than he is of any of his children or the others in his life. By the end of this episode, I'm not so sure where to go with this. Maybe it's Siobhan.
I know.
I think it's Shiv. Yeah. She listens to his advice. He's so obviously her favorite, at least in this moment. Mm-hmm. I love how they all have these video dedications, and hers is just like, I know you hate this, so I'm just going to tell you to F off. Mm-hmm. And it's great. So, yeah.
Yeah, it lands exactly when he's actually listening, because he ignores the rest of the video tributes. And I think it's Shiv for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so as well. So Shiv, it's funny because when she relinquishes being the successor is when she becomes Daddy's favorite again. Of course, it's highly tactical, right? It's like, let's let this cruise scandal drown out Rhea Jarrell. Let's have her be the one who has to pick up the shit. So a really, really smart play from Shiv. I think Tom beats Greg in this episode. So that is currently 4 Greg to 3 Tom. Tom's back in the fight here for season 2. Rating this episode, I just don't know how it isn't a full 4 for me.
It's so obviously a 4. It's such a good episode. Even beyond the Elta Doji. Well?
It's definitely a 4 for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just a classic. And I think like the L to the OG does it, but also there's a lot of other great emotional content. And I think some really solid story progression, but the character dynamics are fascinating in this one. The sense of place, which we really like to chronicle here. I think being like located in Logan's hometown for this whole thing is a really sharp choice as well. So mm-hmm. a great episode of Succession. Hey, out there, we would love for you to rate all of this stuff as well. Rate all the characters, rate all the episodes. Tell us your favorite lines and explain why it's not what Roman just said. You can go to Post Show Recaps, or if it's not, then it has to be L to the OG. PostShowRecaps.com/RateRoy is the way to get all this information to us. PostShowRecaps.com/RateRoy or PostShowRecaps.com/ActionStations. If you want to subscribe to the Succession podcast, you go to PostShowRecaps.com/Succession. That's our RSS link. If you want to search by URL, you could also just search Post Show Recap Succession wherever you get your podcasts. If you want ad-free versions of the Succession podcast, you go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You sign up at any level, you get commercial-free versions of the Succession podcast. You also get commercial-free versions of the Versus podcast from myself and LaTanya Starks, which is going to be shifting from The Last of Us versus Station 11 to Succession Season 4 versus Yellow Jackets Season 2. LaTanya, we're hyped.
I could not be more excited. I've been waiting to talk about Succession for a very long time, and the same is true, just not as long for Yellow Jackets. So I'm very happy that I'm going to get to talk about both of them in one podcast.
It's going to be very, very fun. Thank you for coming on to the podcast, LT. We were really looking forward to making this work, and I really do think you got a great episode.
I got possibly the best episode. It's really just what I do.
It is what you do. It is what you do. What we're going to be doing next on the Succession podcast is we're going to be traveling to DC. We got to go to DC is the name of the penultimate episode of Succession Season 2. DC is coming up next on the Daily Succession podcast. I'm at Round Howard, wherever you can find me. LaTanya, where are you on Twitter?
I'm at LK Starks on Twitter and at Stormborn1222 on Instagram.
Amazing. And Jess?
I am at the Jess Sterling on Twitter.
All right, folks. We'll be back tomorrow and next in the podcast with DC. Typically, this is where I tell you to F off, but today I shall say, Effie go bye-bye.
L to the...
You need to stop this.